God is good. Well, I'll tell you, we're certainly honored to be here from the great things we've heard, and it's a great opportunity for me to honor two of the finest people that I know in the ministry, which is in Pastor Tina and Pastor Louis Cayetan. It just doesn't get any better than that. I've known Pastor Cayetan for the better part of 25 years, and I can tell you there's nothing I wouldn't do for him, and I believe there's nothing he wouldn't do for me. That's why for 25 years we've been doing nothing for each other, so praise God. We make our home in Wheaton, Illinois, which is a Chicago suburb. Jim Belushi and John Belushi come from Wheaton. And Billy Graham went to school there at Wheaton College. We've got Tyndale House Publishing. Dr. Ken Taylor, a number of years ago, said he had an inspired idea that his children didn't understand the Bible when he read it to them. So he took Psalms and Proverbs and put it down in everyday English and took it to a Christian publishing house and said, would you like to publish what I put together here, primarily for my kids, but I got Psalms and Proverbs in English. And the Christian publishing house said, no, we don't think that anybody would be interested in that. And we don't think you ought to tamper with the Word of God. Now, when you're cruising around Cleveland watching those amazing Cavaliers, and God drops an inspired idea into your heart, don't go home and discuss it with Uncle Ray Ray at the July picnic. He views the fifth grade as his senior year and would like to use his Ohio fishing license as a form of valid identification, and his side of the family tree doesn't fork. When you want to go higher, you got to talk to somebody like Pastor Cayetan, who's done what you want to do or paid the price you want to pay. Ken Taylor died about 9 years ago, but before he died, he had sold 49 million copies of the Living Bible. And, of course, if you have any of the Left Behind series behind, or not behind, but left behind at your house, that you might have read, that comes from Wheaton. So we have a lot of Christian organizations in our town. Everybody, though, is not a Christian. We had a psychic in our town. She went out of business about 4 months ago, which surprised us. We thought she would have seen it coming. When you want to get a word about your future, you don't have to get on the internet and talk to Miss Cleo. God's got a word. He said, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of good and not evil, of peace, to give you an expected end, and you'll find me when you seek me with your whole heart. I'd like to thank the Sloans, Betty and Mark. Mark is a Mark's a man who is king in his own castle. And I know that that is true because I was there the night Betty crowned him. And they've taken me out for dinner. They got me some food that would make a pagan babble in tongues. I asked the waitress, do you have crab legs? She said, no, it's arthritis. But appreciate their hospitality. I can tell you everything worth knowing about my life in about 15 quick seconds. I'm not what I think I am. I'm not what I ought to be, nor am I all that I'm going to be. But by the grace of God, I'm not what I was. Well, once I was lost, and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. My life's verse is found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where the Apostle Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you shall continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You say, what's that mean? It means the God who started the work is big enough to finish the work. You say, well, I don't feel that way. I don't care how you feel. You'll never know anything because of how you feel, but today, because of what I know, I do feel a little bit better. To know that I know God and He knows me, and if that's all I ever know, it's more than ever dreamed I could know. You could be here today feeling like a piano player in a marching band, or that you got a kidney transplant from a bedwetter, or you're wearing milkbone underwear in a dog-eat-dog world. But the good news is that the God who started the work is big enough to finish the work. Can I have an amen? How many know he got Daniel out of the lion's den? Can I have an amen?
Amen.
How many know he helped Joshua fit the battle of Jericho? Can I have an amen?
Amen.
How many know he got Gilligan off the island? Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're believing God for Mrs. Crouch to be able to put her paper out by Labor Day. So we brought a few of our books and tapes along, not much, because the people were like piranha over at the other location. I want you to watch for my new book on marriage entitled, If You Won't Leave Me Alone, I'll Find Someone Who Will. We got a book entitled Dare to Succeed. Listen to the byline on this. When times are tough, go forward. Because you could be here today facing all kinds of situations. You may have the kind of children you don't want yours to play with. Your wife may have run off with your best friend and you sure miss him. The bank may have called you and asked you to, the church has asked you to not write any more faith checks. That's where you call those things to be not as though they were. But we've come together as we need to in America. I believe if we can get the white man with love, power, and unity, can I have an amen? To come together with the black man with love, power, and unity, can I have an amen? Then we can all go beat up the French. Glory to God. I've never cared for them. We're going to have some few things back there. If you're interested, they'll help you. And I would make sure the greatest to know that the greatest asset you have is walking in your shoes. If you won't invest in yourself, who's going to? Now, if you brought your Bibles today, I'm going to have you go to one of the classic. Let's see if I can find a spot where there's some lights. Are there any more lights, or have we not been paying the light bill here? One of the greatest chapters in the entire New Testament. I'm going to invite you, and this is a life-changing message. Somebody's life is going to change in the next 30 or 40 minutes. You will never be the same. You came to church today. You've been down and out, but the Lord's going to help you get up and out. God's power is moving. God's got some angels up over Cleveland working on your behalf. And you're going to make it. I don't care how it looks or what happened or anything else. God's word is true, and it's going to be true in your life. If you go to the book of Mark, it's a great chapter in the Bible. You say, well, what's so great about the Mark chapter 4? Well, it's where Jesus is teaching the parable of the sower. In fact, his entire teaching ministry is showcased in Mark chapter 4. You say, what do you mean? Well, he begins to teach, and the crowd is so big that he's got to use a natural sound system. So he gets into a boat and goes off the shore and speaks to the people back on the shore. Now, if you've ever gone out into Lake Erie a few yards off the shore and tried to speak back, you got to have a set of pipes. So see, Jesus was not some long-haired hippie kid from the carpenter shop that couldn't beat his way out of a wet paper bag. He had a real viable ministry. And not only that, I had a friend that was a speaker. You might have some of his books or tapes. His name was Zig Ziglar. Zig said, 1 hour of speaking equals 7 hours of manual labor. So Jesus did his teaching from a boat to the people on the shore. But then when he got back to the shore, he had to hold Head Start class for the disciples. The disciples came to him and said, what'd that mean? All that stuff you said. How many know the disciples? I know there's hope for me today because the disciples were not the dream team. Peter couldn't do anything right until he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Ran a race to the tomb on Easter morning and lost that. But then he went and got filled with the Holy Ghost, went out and preached first night out. 3,000 people came to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not bad for the first night. So, hey. So, Jesus has been teaching all day long. And if you go to verse 35 in Mark chapter 4, he makes a decision that some of you need to make today. And that is a decision to go to the other side. You say, the other side of what? Well, maybe the relationship needs to have a look. Somebody needs to take a look at that. Or maybe your marriage, or maybe it's in your finances, or maybe it's in continuing education, or in physical fitness. For some of you men that I met in the back that are into weightlifting, I'll tell you right now, I'm benching around 330, 340. I find usually 4 o'clock in the afternoon is probably the best time. But anyway, Jesus is talking about you deciding. The choir can't talk you into it. By the way, that was great praise and worship, wasn't it? Weren't they about the best? Let's have a good hand for them. Wow, I enjoyed that. God healed me of CRD, Caucasian Rhythmic Disorder. And so, when I came in and heard that, it was tremendous. But Jesus said in verse 35, on that same day when evening had come, he said to them, let's go over to the other side. It's a powerful phrase in verse 36. You might never have thought of it. Maybe you have, but I'll mention it to you anyway. Verse 36, and leaving the crowd behind. The crowd's not going anywhere. Has the crowd ever gone anywhere? You can't find God's gift to woman in some club somewhere. Leaving the crowd behind. Crowd's going no place. Crowd's not doing much. They have opinions. They form committees. That's the unfit called together to do the unnecessary. But the throng is not going anywhere. Leaving the throng behind, they took him just as he was in the boat in which he was sitting. And there were other boats were with him. And he had only been gone a verse and a half. Maybe he was going to Toledo like it was yesterday. I mean, it rained so long and so hard, the people were starting to pair up like they were in the day of Noah. I've always wondered why Noah would take two termites on a wooden boat. But really got, I mean, it stormed forever yesterday. And it has been. And so you say, what's going on? Well, the furious storm came up, but Jesus himself was sleeping on a pillow, which gives you a little insight into his attitude about storms. Jesus was asleep on a leather cushion, and they awoke him and said, hey, master, don't you care that we're drowning? We're perishing. We're going down. So Jesus finally got up, and he rebuked the wind. He went to the root source of the problem, and he said to the wind, peace, be still. And the wind stopped, and the waves died down. There was a great calm. And then he said to the disciples, here's an interesting word, because Jesus, Son of God, and he walked in love. And so he said to them, why are you so timid and fearful? How is it that you have no faith, firmly relying trust? And they were filled with great awe, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, who are these people down there at Valley View who that even the wind and the sea obey them? Amen. Jesus Christ operating a storm, and he's going to the other side where he will be met by the town's leading demoniac. How many believe in demons? Man, the other day said he had a spirit of procrastination, asked me to cast it out of him, but the spirit said it'd be out in a few minutes. You don't have to look much further than Charleston, South Carolina, at a beautiful church with a beautiful people to see the devil and demonic forces in operation. Nobody's ever pinned it on the one that should be pinned on, but it's the thief who comes not to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly. So, Jesus heading for the other side. He's going to be met by the town's leading demoniac. Then there's going to be Jairus. His daughter's dead. He's trying to get some help. And out of the crowd comes a Baptist lady with an issue of blood. She had it for 12 years. And she was none better, but rather grew worse, and she's looking for help. So Jesus, after having taught all day long, he's trying to catch a few Z's while he goes to the other, while he is in the boat going to the other side. Now, you may be in a storm like I was yesterday from Chicago, and we live in an area over there that's so tough, the police have an unlisted phone number. When Al Capone worked there, he worked as an Avon lady. And the restaurant serves broken leg of lamb. But when we started, it was storming all day long. And you don't have to look whether it's downstate Illinois or into Missouri or Texas or especially Oklahoma. Storms come. Storms always come for a reason. But listen to this. They only come for a season. Say this with me. It came to pass. Say, thank God. It didn't come to stay. You need to know today, on this Sunday, that your problem has a limited lifespan. It may have come, but it comes to pass. And so here is the devil. If you'll notice in Mark 4:15, in the story of the seed falling on good soil, you'll find that Mark 4:15 says that Satan comes immediately to steal the word of God away. And the issue that's going on in your life is not the problem, it's the word of God. And the devil would have just assumed that you never came to this church, never had heard of a Louis Kayathan or Tina Kayathan or these beautiful people that Sloan's. You'd never come, you'd never bought a Bible, and it should never started to renew your mind with the word of God. Now, in the area of the devil and demons, some people they find that as a convenient excuse for everything they don't want to do, or a convenient excuse to blame something on. I remember last Christmas, our stockings were hung by the chimney with care. We had worn them for months, and they needed the air. And I was in church singing, Betty. I was trying to sing, and I was singing, Leon, Leon. My wife said, honey, I think that hymnal's upside down. That's supposed to be Noel, Noel. But my wife came home with a brand new pantsuit. Now, I like my wife to have nice things. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. And I said, honey, that is a beautiful pantsuit, but I thought we were saving up to get some gifts for other people. She said, well, we did say that. I said, well, what's up with the new pantsuit then? Well, she said, I was down at the Macy's. So I said, that's a nice store. Well, she said, while I was at Macy's, the devil snuck up behind me. I said, the devil is shopping at Macy's? She said, well, he snuck up behind me, and he shoved me into the women's department. Right up in front of this pantsuit. He said, hey, girlfriend, you be working hard. What's a little try-on going to hurt? Try-on don't cost nothing. Why don't you try it on? She said, well, I finally tried it on. Devil said, you're styling now. You're looking good. I said, well, sweetheart, we're not new at this. We have got tapes on spiritual warfare in our library by Louis Kayathan. Why didn't you just rise up and say, Satan, get thee behind me? She said, well, I did, but he said I look good from the back, too. So, you don't blame everything you don't want to do on the devil. You and I have some responsibility. So the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I'm going to give you four ways real quick that the devil tries to stop you and your life from going to the other side, to going higher. Joyce Meyer said, when you're trying to go higher, new level, new devil. You can count on it. But you can't blame everything. And you got to have some discernment and listen to the Holy Spirit of God and find out what's of God, what's of the devil, and what should you and I be doing. The first way the devil strives to stop you. Now, you guys remember over there, I told you I was in a gang growing up. I was in a gang called the Warlords. We were usually fighting a Jewish gang called the Landlords. But The first way the devil tries to stop you is, you're all going to know this word. It's the word called delay. Everybody say delay.
Delay.
He's going to say, now you're a good little trooper. Look at that. You're going to this new church down there. They haven't been at it long, but they got a full house. You bought a new Bible. You have a pad of paper, your pen. You take notes. You even throw some money in the bucket when it goes by. How many know if you want to connect with God financially, you do that three tithes? That's what the book, I thought the book was on the mafia called Malachi. But it's not, it's Malachi. How many know why Italians don't like Jehovah's Witnesses? Italians don't want any witnesses. Okay. So, as if you want to connect with God financially, he'll open the windows of heaven, pour you out such a blessing, there won't be room to contain it, and he'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. But the devil comes to say, look at you. What's changed since January? Life is no different. Your husband still looks like a train wreck. Some men say, well, my wife won't follow me. Well, she can't follow a parked car, Bubba. You got to get the lead out of your pants and go do something. And, you know, you got a problem, even the pets turn on you. I had a dog that was crossed between a pit bull and a collie. It would bite you, then run for help. But all these problems. Where's the change? What's the difference? Where's the prayers? You don't have any answered prayers. You've been delayed. It's not happened. It's never going to happen. Why don't you just cough it up, and why don't you quit? Now, you could, if you wanted to, go back to the first church of the Frigidaire, where many are called, a few are chosen, some are cold, and a lot are frozen. They have a piano player, but the left hand doesn't know what the right's doing. She's biblical. And an usher comes in with a coat hanger for a halo. I mean, he's a demon. No, deacon. He's a deacon. Deacon. But here you've come to this place of life. People are upbeat. People have joy. People are moving, grooving, doing stuff. But there's no change. You've been delayed, and it's never going to happen. Now, my Bible says in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, shall he not do it? Have he spoken, shall he make it good? You say, well, what do I do if I've been delayed? You hold fast to your confession. And about the time you make a decision to hold fast to your confession of faith, you run into Sister So-and-so from the church, and she said, now, my brother, glory be to God, hallelujah. When thou prayest, sometimes God says yes, and sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says wait a while. How many have ever heard that before? That's in the book of Jude, chapter 2, verse 10, or Hezekiah 16:8. Now, don't write those down, because there is no second chapter of Jude, and there is no book of Hezekiah, and that's not in the Bible. The promises of God are yea and amen, and if God said it, he'll do it. You hold fast to your confession of faith. You stay in the Word of God and plan your schedule around the Word of God. And you call out to God and pray the Word of God back to God. And begin to thank him that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you'll see God moving your life. And delays will not stop you. This is your year. We're starting the second half. This is your chance to win it. In Jesus' name. The second way the devil will try to stop you is in a word called deceit. You say, what's that mean? Lies. You're too young. You're too old. You're too middle-aged. You're too white. You're too black. You're too Hispanic. You can't do it. Now, that is a lie if there ever was one. He tries to lie to you. Well, you say, now, my brother, I was taught back at the other church, I'm just an old sinner, glory to God. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner, you were saved by grace, but then he that knew no sin became sin that you might become the righteousness of God in him. If you want to have a personal revival in your life, get up every morning during the month of July, look in the mirror and say, thank God I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. To say that you're some kind of a worm of the dust, or you're a no good, or you have this addiction, or you've had this, or you've had that. Your past is past at last. Paul said, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I'm forgetting that which is behind, and I'm pressing forward to the mark of my high calling in Christ Jesus. Now, you can't renew your mind by coming here on Sunday and then go home and watch No Hope for Tomorrow, As the Stomach Turns, A Darker Day, the 5 o'clock hour of fear and failure, followed by the 6 o'clock hour of doubt and unbelief. Jerry Springer, I married my third cousin's German Shepherd. Why is it I want to bite the postman? And I'm telling you, you young people, hey, yo, young people, I don't want to make you mad. But you can't sit in front of the TV all day watching mucus TV, MTV. I'm going to tell you why those rap singers look so angry. They can't sing. And anybody can do that. Send me down to the youth department. I can do it. Yo, my canines. Open your Bible to Mark chapter 5. I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm not going to lie. Woman there, stuck in the mud for 12 long years. She had an issue of blood. I wish that spirit wouldn't come on me, but Tupac gave me this before Biggie shot him. You drive out the lies of the devil with the word of God. You can't be an old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner, you were saved by grace, but he that knew no sin became sin, that you are the righteousness of God in him. You're a winner. Somebody said, what'd you get on your SAT test? Coffee. What difference does it make? I was in the third of the class that made the upper two-thirds possible. I mean, it's a wonder that I'd have 1.1 million books in print. I couldn't even pass English over in Grove City, Pennsylvania, where Interstate 80 meets 79. English teacher said, I don't have no fun at the beach. How would you correct that? He said, get a boyfriend. Things will pick up for you. Math teacher said, if you had $5 in one pocket and $5 in another pocket, what would you have? I said, well, I'd have somebody else's pants on. Science teacher wanted us to demonstrate the law of gravity, so we threw him out the window. Listen, whatever's happened in the past is the past. Your past is past at last, and the Bible said if you know him. Now, if you've only been born once, you got to die twice. But if you'll be born twice, you only have to die once. If I wasn't saved, I'd get saved. You say, well, I was raised in the church. Well, that's wonderful, but that doesn't make you a Christian any more than going into a donut shop and make you a policeman. You have to invite Christ into your life. They'll try to stop you with delays, deceit. The third way the devil comes to stop you is with distractions. Distractions. You say, well, my brother, I'm looking somewhere for the perfect church. Well, if you ever find it, don't join it. You'd ruin it. It wouldn't be perfect after you got there, and I can promise you it would not be perfect after I got there. There is no perfect church. And there's no perfect pastor. 400 per week in America quit. Only 2% of the body of Christ pays tithe. 4,000 to 5,000 churches per year go out of business. It's Christ and Christ alone. In the Bible, the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. Oh, going this way and that way and this way and that way. Stick with the word of God. Stick with the man and woman of God. And lift up the name of Jesus. And whether it's delays or it's deceit or it's distractions, you're not going to be distracted because you're hooked on Christ. Jesus Christ was not a white man. He's not a black man. He's not a Republican or Democrat. He doesn't come to take sides. He comes to take over. Hallelujah. I mean, I know what I'm talking about. About 4 weeks ago, I had the opportunity, and we told them over at Lorraine, didn't we, Mark? I had an opportunity to be on with the African Children's Choir. How many have ever seen them on TV? Or with Ron? Oh, it was wonderful. I can't sing. My voice helped coin the phrase, stop the music. But boy, did I enjoy this. They taught me a couple of words. That's all I know is a couple of words. Let me just see if I can remember them. Embody! Lo 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 lo. Embole. Hey, I was real excited about that until they explained to me I was singing verse 2 of the popular African song, Kill the White Man. Delays. Hey, I feel right at home because I was the only white guy on an all-black basketball team and the brothers called me Spot. It never passed me the ball. He said he couldn't see me in the daylight. But they used to invite me to all their parties. They said they wanted to play pin the tail on the honky. Okay. Delay, deceit, distraction. Here's one that this has gotten all of us at one time or another. Disappointment. Disappointment. You know, the Bible says, and today you may be here and you can't even crack a smile. You say, what's up with the one-liners? Well, a merry heart does good like a medicine. But a broken spirit dries up your bones. And a couple of you probably need to crack a smile and laugh, but it may be the reason you can is because of disappointment. And maybe it's a broken relationship, or somebody said they didn't ever want to see you before, or a financial loss, or a real estate loss, or something. But the devil loves to use disappointment to fracture your life and make you have a hole in your soul that, by the way, only Jesus can fill. And Jesus said he came to bind up the brokenhearted. You can have a new life. You can have a new opportunity. You can have a new chance in life because God loves you. He is not mad at you. And he is cheering for your success. And the Bible said there's a great cloud of witnesses cheering you on. How do I know that I'm not talking to the next Martin Luther King? How do I know that the next T.D. Jakes is not here? Or his beautiful wife? Or the next Joyce Meyer? Or the next whoever? If you'll take an opportunity and say, I'm not going to be held back. After all, it's me. You might have had this, you might have had that. Well, you didn't say, I didn't have much of a home. Hey, listen, a lot of our parents didn't have focus on the family, and they just didn't know. My mother was a pioneer of the timeout method. How many use timeout with your kids? My mother said, I'm going to give you a good paddling, and when I get tired, I'm taking a timeout. And I'm going to paddle you some more. I asked my dad, when can I go ice skating? He said, wait till it gets warmer. I said, how do I get my kite to fly? He said, jump off a cliff. They sent me to the store for bread and milk, and while I was down there, they moved. Listen, we've all had some heartaches. We've all had things that have gone wrong, but Jesus Christ of Nazareth is in the healing business, and he has come to bind up the brokenhearted. Four ways the devil tries to stop you with delays. Keep at it. Hold fast to your confession of faith. It was Jesus, not a Bible teacher, said, if you'll say unto this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, doubt not in your heart, but believe those things you say will come to pass. You will have whatsoever you say. Most people are saying what they have when they can have what they say. Proverbs 6:2, we're snared by the words of our mouth. Proverbs 18:21, the power of life and death is in your tongue. Psalm 35, verse 27, God delights in the prosperity of his servant. Proverbs 18:16, your gift will make a place for you and bring you before great people. Psalm 12:5, favor surrounds you as a shield. God is for you. Now, before we close, in conclusion, what does that mean? Nothing. Okay. Jesus had gotten up and dealt with the problem. He spoke, by the way. The power of life and death is in your tongue. I'm telling you, gang, if all you get out of this service this morning is the rest of the month of July, don't badmouth yourself. Please do not badmouth yourself. Stop it. You live way much higher than that if you're a believer. But here comes Jesus to the disciples. How many know the disciples? That was not the dream team. Yeah, and so he said to him, why are you so timid? He's talking to the disciples now. And fearful. How is it that you have no faith, no firmly relying trust? And they were all filled with great awe and feared exceedingly and said one to another, who are these people down there at Valley View that even the wind and the sea obey them? Jesus is talking to the disciples and he said, hey guys, what's up? We've got a storm, wind, and waves. I spoke to the wind, it died down, the waves stopped. But what about you? You could have handled this. I've taken you to the miracle healing rallies, the crusades, the fish fries. I even taught you under binding and rebuking 101, wind and waves 202. I taught you the hand motions. I bind, rebuke. I bind and rebuke. I said, I bind. What's up? I did not put all this word of God in you for you just to sit around on your seat of do nothing. Today, all over America, a certain lifestyle of people have come out of the closet. They've come out of the closet in Washington, D.C., in the Congress, in the Senate. We have leadership problems on top of... John Maxwell said, if you think you're a leader but you don't have any followers, you're just out for a walk. It is time for the body of Christ to come out of the closet and say, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm trying to shape my life around the core values found in the Word of God. Well, my brother, glory to God, hallelujah. We live in a new day. This is the 2015, and we need to adjust. Excuse me, pal, but Jesus Christ said in Hebrews 13:8, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And some of you, the reason you got yourself in the mess you're in is because you thumb your nose at the Bible and we say, God, take a break. Time out. If we need you, we'll call you. Otherwise, I'm going to do my own thing. Frank Sinatra said, that was his last song, I'm going to do my own thing. Gang, I'm older than most of you. I've tried my own thing and it doesn't work. It does not work. And the sooner you convert systems, I go to an all-black church predominantly with one of the greatest men of God in America. Have anybody ever seen Dr. Bill Winston on TV? That's my pastor. Tell me about Bill Winston. He went to Tuskegee University, where he became a Tuskegee Airman. He was a fighter pilot in Vietnam. Came to Chicago and became the most outstanding IBM salesman ever. The number one IBM salesman in the city of Chicago. Started a church in about 1987 with his wife Veronica and their son and $200. Today we have on the rolls approximately 18,000 people, although I've never seen that many people at the church at one time. The church owns a mall that's as big as most malls around Cleveland. I mean a real mall. I don't mean just a bunch of come and get a manicure place. Or a barber shop, or a tobacco store. It's a big mall. In the basement of the mall, we have the Joseph Business Center. Say, what's that do? Well, it teaches people, and you can see all this on the website. It teaches people how to mix faith with biblical principles and how to succeed in business the Bible way. And that Joseph Business School is franchised all around the world, South America, Africa, Nigeria, England, all around, and he is able to get to those places in time for graduation on his G5 Gulfstream jet. But it shows what happens. Here's a man that comes to Chicago, has no idea, wasn't even born again. And a good-looking woman in his office invited him to go out. He said, hey, yo, I'll be there. I mean, you look good to me. Well, he didn't know she was taking him to a Bible study up on the north side of Chicago, walking in with everybody had their hands in their air praising God. He got born again, and the rest is history. You do not know today what potential is sitting in this congregation. You say, where would I start? I'll tell you where you'd start. Matthew 6:33, you know the verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And you can take the word of God. Isaiah 48:17, I'm the Lord thy God who teaches you how to profit. Isaiah, God, it gives you the power to get wealth. Our book, The Storehouse Principle, where John Osteen said at Lakewood, we pray for money when the barrel gets down to the top. You can live off the top of the barrel if you'll give yourself a storehouse, and after you tithe to God, you'll tithe to yourself. Amen. Everything doesn't have to go to the church or the preacher. You're allowed to have something. Amen. How can God command his blessing on something you don't have? Get yourself a storehouse and believe that every time you put something in there, you're enforcing the covenant, And the Bible reality is you'll be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, and blessed in the field. You are God's champion for this hour in greater Cleveland. And I'm inviting you to come out of the closet and take a stand for God. Don't bend to every wind of doctrine. Oh, I'm, you know, now, you know, you say, you know, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm attempting, sometimes not very successfully, but I am attempting to make the standard of my life the Word of God. And the Bible said, you know, when the devil attacked Jesus, he never debated him. He just said, but the Bible says, it is written, it is written, it is written. So today, if I wasn't born again, I'd consider making Jesus Christ my Lord and my Savior. You say, what's that involved? Well, God has to be invited in. He's not a divine rapist, and he doesn't force his love on anybody. Jesus Christ, this Jesus of Nazareth, has to be invited in. You say, what will that involve? Well, that'll involve you deciding to decide, and only you can decide it. To decide to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Now, you're going to need some information. And if you are bald before you accept Jesus, you'll probably be bald after you accept Christ. But he renews your mind step by step, and Word of God on top of Word of God. Let's not have anybody else, if we can, not walk out during the invitation. Jesus Christ would like to know you personally. And you can have somebody lean on you and say, if you don't do this, or you may die tonight, or this, or that, or the other. But God loves you. Say God loves me. Let's say it together. God loves me. You know, God's not mad at you. He's not running around with a computer every time you make a misstep. Oh, I got you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our salvation. So I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask you to signify by raising your hand if knowing Christ is something you'd like to do, want to do, believe now is the time. Well, you know, I may do it later. Later for what? Now is the accepted time. You and I have waited on enough stuff throughout life. You wait and wait and wait. And then all I do is internalize the anger of all the stuff I haven't followed through on. The Bible said now is the accepted time. God's not mad at you. You can come. Look at the environment in here. We've been having some fun looking at the truth of God's word. Don't let the devil delay you. Don't let him deceive you. Don't let him distract you. Well, you know, you got the guys waiting. They'll be always waiting, leaving the crowd behind. Well, I'm disappointed. Well, you won't be disappointed with Jesus. He won't rip you off. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way to God, the truth to be learning, and the life to be living. Would you please reverence the Holy Spirit with me and bow your head for prayer, and we'll pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we're so honored today to speak to such an incredible group of men and women, boys and girls. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you for a dying Savior's love and a resurrected Savior's power, that we might, as Paul said, that I might not know you and the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your sufferings being made conformable unto the Word of God. I thank you for every man and every woman that's here. I know that, Father, this audience, this large, represents many great challenges. And if you don't come through, there is no hope. But I thank you today that there is hope. There is God. We have a covenant. You made a covenant with us. And all we have to do is accept it and receive it and come to you. With heads bowed, eyes closed, you say, I think I would like to investigate knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior. At least I'd like to have some information so I can make a decision. I don't believe that I've ever invited Christ into my life, but I'd like to. Would you please raise your hand right now so all across this great audience I can see who you are and where you are, and maybe somebody in the back with these bright lights can help me just a little bit. Do we have somebody here today that's saying, I'd like to invite Jesus Christ to come into my life? Would you Want to pop your hand up where I can see it somewhere. Okay, sir. Thank you. God bless you. All right, let's do the second thing. You're here today, and you've got a serious problem. I used to be involved with Rod Parsley. You can raise your head if you'd like to. Every head up, every eye open, everybody looking around. I was involved with Rod Parsley. He has a great TV show, Breakthrough. And that's a word that's used frequently in the ministry, breakthrough. And I've gone to 100 services. Are you getting ready to play something? I'm feeling the anointing of B.B. King. Can that be right? We call it breakthrough. But I've been through 100 services that use the word breakthrough. Not at his place, but all over the country. And I think, breakthrough, when is that coming? Would that be in September, October, November? When am I going to get that breakthrough? I got that situation. I got that bill. I've got that money I need. When is the breakthrough coming? You're here today, and you need a breakthrough, and you need it now. Yes. You need it a July breakthrough. I don't mean you're short of money for a $5 footlong. I mean, you got a situation that needs some attention of you, the Holy Spirit, and God today. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand up right where you're at. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If God's not going to help you today, when is he going to do it? Amen. He's here now. He came with me. If you're here and you got a serious situation, now you don't have to invent something to stand up. But if you have a situation that needs attention today, you can stand up if you want, ma'am. Yeah, you're practicing going up and down. Okay. How did I know your name was Yo-Yo? Okay. All right, let's raise a hand. Raise your right hand up to God. You can notice him bringing his hand down, nail scarred though it is, into your hand. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the word of God. Satan's demonic delays, deceit, distractions, and disappointments will not stop me. My answer is in the Word of God. I have it now. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Devil, I speak to you, not in my name, but in the name that's above every name. In the name of Jesus, I resist you. You'll not dominate me. I'll dominate you. I've overcome you by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. You're under my feet. I am victorious. It's my time for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, estates and inheritances, checks in the mail. My body healed. Debts paid off. My family saved. It's my time. Breakthrough is here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand. So long. Now, what I'll do, if it's all right with you, I'll go back to, you may sit down, you may go back, not you, don't go any further, please. I'll go back to the book table, and if you don't think you got the attention you need, I have no schedule to be in Chicago. I'll be glad to meet you, pray with you, do whatever. I mean, I'm here to serve you. That's what the cannibal chief said, and so we'll be here, and I want to thank you for your kindness and making me feel welcome, and the great job you're doing here. This is really something, what you've done here and brought life to this factory, and I want to thank God for this mighty man of God and the praise and worship team and all of you. Thank you very much in Jesus' name. God bless you.
As I was thinking about what I was going to say about giving to this offering. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about how you guys have ever been. I know some of you guys aren't teenagers, and you guys aren't going out till Applebee's till 3 in the morning or something like that. But how many of you guys have been at a restaurant and there's been 20 people in your party? How many of you guys? You've been there, you've been about 20 people in your party. Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hand for this one, but how many times have been like, you're looking at your money, maybe you bought a steak or something, maybe you shouldn't, you're like looking through it, and you're like, tip time comes, and you're like, oh, they got it. They got this. Okay. You're kind of like, you know, look at the other person and say, you don't got it. Look at the person. You say, yeah, I don't got it. We want to bless this man. We want to bless him. The Bible says that a worker is due his wage. I'm telling you what, speaking for many years, the hours you put into a message and the heart you put into it, and all the time afterwards saying, God, did I say the right thing? Did I do the right thing? Did I honor you? Did I bless you? I'm telling you what, it's more of a stressor than you realize. We want to bless this man with what we have to give him. So if I can have the ushers come forward. If you can, just go ahead, if you want to, write a check out to Church on the North Coast and just put a special guest speaker. We will make for sure that he gets that special guest or that special offering that you would like to give him. But you know, one more just a round of applause to him. We just wanted to say thank you so much. If after the service you need something, I'm telling you, we all need stuff. We all need prayer. We all need someone to pray for us or to touch us in a special moment. I would love to have the prayer team, the altar team ministry to come down. And if you need that, if you want that, or do you know what? Sometimes the greatest thing for a prayer minister is if you have a testimony that's in your heart, something happened, God did something in your life, and you're like, I'm going to go up and tell that prayer person that the person who prayed for me last week, that they changed my life. Or it was a year ago or 5 years ago, or that something happened during the week and you just want to just tell them that something amazing happened in your life. They would love to hear that too. So go ahead, offering people, go, and I'm just going to pray. So dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Pastor Van Crouch. I thank you for the offering that we're able to give him. I thank you for a new level of grace I feel like you are giving us in this congregation over the last week. Lord, that you are putting us in places to give out love that we've never been able to give before. Lord, I thank you, Father, that as we are a child, you are the Father. You are the best dad that has ever been here on the face of this earth. And that you always know what to do and you always have it taken care of. Lord, we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.